Turn in your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. For over a year, we have been going through each book of the Old Testament. Dr. Jay Bruce, our associate pastor, had the idea that we would preach one sermon of each of these books, and that's a challenge for me. Having preached many of these books straight through for the years, to pick one thing out of that book that most shows the gospel, and that is my issue is what not to pick, because you pick all of it. And so, but I'm trying to narrow it down. But I'm going to read a long passage this morning, and because it is about the gospel. Even though there's not a direct messianic prophecy in Zephaniah, you clearly see the gospel of grace in his and God's heart for his people, not only the Jewish people, but the people of the nations. It's a glorious, glorious prophecy. And give your attention to the reading of the Word of God. Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy, and they do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. Every morning he shows forth his justice. Each dawn he does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are in ruins. I have laid waste their streets so that no one walks in them. Their cities have been made desolate without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. Then your dwelling would not be cut off according to what I have appointed against you. But all the more they were eager to make all their deeds corrupt. Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord. For the day when I rise up to seize the prey, for my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger, for in the fire of my jealousy all the earth shall be consumed. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve them with one accord. For beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my despised one, shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exalted ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. They will seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue, for they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcasts, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in. At the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless to understanding this reading of your infallible and inerrant word and its application to our hearts and lives today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My title of the sermon tells you my outline, that the Lord will judge, save, and restore his people. That is the closing message of Zephaniah the prophet. Zephaniah was not only was he a prophet, he was a prince of the lineage of Hezekiah. His pedigree is told to, he gives us more information than virtually any one of the minor prophets. He was raised in royalty. When we look at the pedigree of the prophets, some of them were farmers, some of them were shepherds, most of them came from obscure backgrounds. But the prophet Zephaniah is an illustration that he takes and makes ministers of all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds. The most important thing about all of them is that they are called to the ministry. The subject of a call is something that we in the Presbyterian Church take very seriously. We examine a person in terms of their outward gifts, their outward abilities to communicate truth, their knowledge, but we're also very concerned at the beginning about the inward call and the outward call. It's a mysterious thing in some ways, is maybe the closest thing that we get to being charismatic in the Presbyterian Church when we talk about someone's inward call. We can obviously see people's outward abilities and their strengths, but no one can truly judge and have a sense of someone's heart. I'll never forget as a young man in the Methodist Church in which I grew up, I was thrust forward to be thought about going into the ministry and was kind of pushed along in that direction. And I have a very proud mother who's no doubt watching on live stream, so I have to be careful about what I say these days. She would bring me around and she would tell her friends. She was a nurse who worked in a nursing home, and one of her fellow, and she would say, "This is my son, and he's going to be a preacher." And I thought, really? Because in her mind, there was no greater calling than to be a Methodist preacher. And I never will forget going through the nursing home one day, and Mary Alice Coleman, dear sister, still alive, serving the Lord, hearing my mother say that. Really? And putting her finger in my face and said, "Son, you make sure you was called. Because some of them preachers weren't called, they just went." And that stuck with me. When you're called, you go and you obey. From whatever social strata you might come. And such was the ministry of Zephaniah, a contemporary of Jeremiah and other prophets. He's called a minor prophet because his recorded message in the Word of God is shorter, but his message is no less important. And his message is a message that is timeless in application. It had a very present application for the people of Israel then, it has a timeless application for us. And the first point is this, that God will judge his people. God will judge his rebellious children. Some of us know too well the pain of children who forsake the faith, who go their own way. It can be heartrending to comprehend what is going on. We have all these precious promises about our children, and we seek by God's grace to do all we can to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Someone said to me one time in a very poignant personal crisis, "Don't you know that God had trouble with his children?" And that's all I needed to hear to get better. He had trouble with his first creation, his first parents. And if you trace the history of God's people through the Bible, you'll know that God was often angry with his own children. And such is the case in the prophets. And the message is that he will not tolerate in his children their rebellion, but he will judge them. He doesn't leave them in judgment, but he will judge his people. He is speaking about the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, Zephaniah is, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, who are in rebellion. And if there is not a greater picture of what spiritual rebellion consists of than verse 2 of our text. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord, and she does not draw near to God. Then it goes on to describe the officials, the judges, the prophets, the priests, the whole nation who has turned away from God. God will judge his people. God will judge Judah, and he will judge the nations. That's the other two chapters of Zephaniah. If you haven't read them, I encourage you to read them. It's about God judging the other nations, the Keratites, the Ninevites, the Philistines, the Moabites, all the surrounding nations. He will judge as well. And what is the application? I'm convinced the Apostle Paul, who was so steeped in scriptures before he was converted as a rabbi, as the greatest, if the Apostle Paul hadn't been converted to Christ, he would be still recognized as Saul, the greatest rabbi of the Old Testament. And we sometimes forget that. And he is so steeped in the Old Testament, in the prophets, that it just oozes out of him. And I can't think that it's not directly referenced in Romans, but I think he has Zephaniah in mind when the Holy Spirit moves him to write Romans chapter 2, verse 9. "For there will be tribulation and distress for everyone who does evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." See, Zephaniah is about Israel's rebellion and the nation's rebellion. And that God hates sin wherever it exists and will deal with it. He deals with it individually, personally, so we must deal with our own sin individually and personally. He deals with the collective sins of nations, and we see that throughout the scriptures. Here he talks about those who persecute, but in the preceding chapter you see he talks about the nations who persecute and kill God's people and will receive in themselves the wrath of God. But it's wrong for us just to take the scriptures and push it back there 3,000 years ago or 2,700 years ago. or to leave it at the time of Jesus. Our job is to take the scripture and apply it to our lives today. It's the word of God to us. And the question that we must ask is, are we rebellious? Am I rebellious? Am I defiled? Am I the one who doesn't listen to the voice of God? Am I the one who does not trust in the Lord and His provision? Am I the one who does not draw near to God? Am I the one who lives in rebellion against Him? I must ask myself these questions, and you, brother and sister, must ask yourselves that question. We should do it every day. Scripture tells us in the Apostle Paul's instructions for us as we come to the Lord's table that we should, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that we should judge ourselves rightly, and if we do, we will not be judged. But praise God, He has not left us, His people, in that condition. He's not left Israel in that condition, and He's not left the nations in that condition, and He's not left us as individual believers in that condition. He has promised that He will save His people. The Lord will save His people. And again, every time you see the Lord mentioned here in all capital letters, it's Yahweh. It's God's covenant name. And He's promised that He is going to save not only Israel, but the nations. Yes, there will be judgment for the Jews and the Gentiles alike who reject Him, who persist in their rebellion against Him. Yes, there will be tribulation and distress for those who do evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But we don't stop at verse 9 of Romans chapter 2. We read verse 10. But there will be glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Remember where you were when God saved you. Do you remember? Do you remember the pit you were in? The filth you were in? Do you remember the rock He pulled you out from and saved you? See, God is still doing that. He is still saving His people from their sin. And the reason He does it, so that His worship might be purified. See, this is written before the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah are historical books that tell us the events that happened after Zephaniah's prophecy. Zephaniah prophesied that Israel would be judged, and they were judged by the Babylonians, and they were carried off into captivity, and the temple was destroyed, and the worship of God stopped in Israel while they were in exile. And then Zephaniah prophesied, one day you're going to be restored. And yes, they were restored. And yes, they were judged again. And yes, they were restored again. Multiple fulfillments of this prophecy. And yes, God is bringing in the nations. God is going to make worship. God has made in His word, His worship, His greatest priority. Someone wrote a book, a line in the book that I'll never forget. I might forget who writes it, but the line is one of the best I've ever read. It says, missions, meaning world missions for the gospel, exist because worship doesn't. The goal of missions
reaching the nations is that the worship of God will be established throughout the earth. That's why missionary endeavor is so important. That's why Jesus made it the priority with his disciples before his ascension. Matthew 28:18-20, we have the Great Commission. Remember what he said, go and make disciples of the nations. How do you make disciples? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them everything that God has commanded. Our God is a gracious, loving God who loves to forgive and convert his enemies. He loves to take the leaders of Satan's army and make them into his servants. This is the gospel of grace. He loves not only to do that among his own people like he did with Saul of Tarsus, turning him into the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. God has a great sense of humor in what he does. He loves to find the Ethiopian eunuch traveling up as an emissary and meeting him in the desert with Peter to tell him what he must do to be saved. He loves to send Peter to the devout, strict, kosher Jewish guy to Cornelius, the Roman commander, to tell him the good news. Because this is his plan to save his people, and his plan to save those from every tongue and tribe and nation. Not only does he save his people, he restores his people, which is the last point I want to make from the text. There is promised a glorious restoration of God's people in verses 14 through 20 of chapter 3 of Zephaniah. It's one of the most explicit passages in the whole Bible of God restoring his people Israel. And yes, there is a historic fulfillment you can point to when they were restored to the land after the Babylonian captivity. You can point to many things. I can't help but point to 1948, when the Jewish people restored to their land. It's there. But they're not going to be fully restored until they receive their King, Jesus, as Messiah, as their Lord. But that's the promise of this prophecy. And you should look at it carefully and study it for yourself. Things were very bad in Jerusalem in that day. There were people of God were under judgment. As Matthew Henry writes in his commentary, they were incorrigible. They were incurable. They were mercy proof, he says. They were judgment proof. But to show his power, to show his love, to show his covenant faithfulness, he would restore them. What is described in these verses and the preceding verses is nothing less in the gospel in the Old Testament. And we live in the fulfillment of that plan of salvation. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans chapter 11, says one day when the Jewish people come and put their faith in Christ at an incredible level, that we'll see this restoration. They're being grafted back into the gospel, will result in blessing to the whole world. That's why Jewish mission is so important, right, Stephen Atkinson? I hear amen.
Amen.
That's what I thought. Be a blessing to to the whole world beyond what we can imagine. That's why we do well to pray, support, and work to that end. Because of the good news, God takes away his judgment to returning sinners, whether it's to the nation of Israel, to the nations of the world. I think it's wrong to just look in that big picture. I think it's very important to personally appropriate this truth for ourselves. To see how God loves us. The Lord takes away our judgments. He clears away our enemies. The King of Israel is our King and is our Lord when we repent and return to him. It is really important to do this. And no less than the Lord Jesus tells us to do this. No less than the Lord Jesus tells us how important you are. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking about, I want to tell you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There is a party that goes on when one sinner turns to the Lord. He repeats it. And just as if to underline it, that's in 15:4. I think it's down in verse 8 of that same chapter. He underlines it and says, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. He is the good shepherd. There's shepherd language throughout this about bringing back the lame and the outcast, and putting them back in the fold. There's this shepherd language. Jesus is the good shepherd. He doesn't leave his sheep alone when they're in trouble. He pursues them. And he restores them. He knows their condition. He knows how desperately they need to be brought back into the fold and cared for. And what does it produce? It produces humility and holiness. All that take refuge in the name of the Lord will receive this blessing. I would ask you in closing this morning of this message, have you received that forgiveness and grace that only comes from the good shepherd? He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He invites you into his fold to be his own. Do not refuse him, but put your faith and trust in him. And know the joy that comes from forgiveness and being restored. When we come to the Lord's table, that's what we're seeking. Restoration, renewal. When we receive these simple, ordinary elements of bread and wine, which is what I call the fruit of the grape juice, it is a form of wine, someone told me. It's non-alcoholic. But when we receive these simple, ordinary elements, we really feed on Christ by faith. Take him into our life. And we know the joy of being forgiven and being restored. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word read, expounded, and applied. If anyone here has yet to come to faith in Jesus, be pleased to draw them to yourself even now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now worship the Lord with our morning offering.